Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. It is good to be with you again today as we continue our study in 2 Corinthians. Today, our lesson is a topic that will connect with everybody. How can you say that if you don't know me? You might be thinking. You're right, I don't know you. But I know that you have been affected by this. And I know this because you are a human. Each of our lives have been touched by death. Death. Just the sound of that word is depressing. Thank God he has provided the way to receive life, eternal life. I like the sound of that much better. And this is what God created us for. Death was not part of his original plan. He wants us to live and live forever. Our title today is Delivered from Death. Let's go with J. Mark to 2 Corinthians 1 for today's lesson.
Many years ago, it was the day before Christmas, and my dad and I had driven to a local hardware store to pick up some last-minute items. Driving home, the roads were covered with snow. We weren't far from home, and we were rounding a curve, and up ahead I could see another car coming toward us, and that car was across the center line of the road. There was nothing else I could do but sit and wait for the impact. There was a loud crash and the jolt that went along with the impact, but fortunately none of us were seriously injured. There was absolutely nothing I could do to avoid that collision. It was beyond my control. Have you faced circumstances beyond your control where it seemed there was no way out? Maybe you despaired of a positive outcome. You know, at that point, it can be hard to remember the promises of God. In the life of the Apostle Paul, he faced numerous situations where he despaired of life itself. And in our study this time, we'll look at one of those situations and how the Apostle responded. I've titled today's teaching, Delivered from Death, and it's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and verses 8 to 14. Listen now as I read that portion of Scripture. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we have conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you. For we are not writing any other things to you than what you read or understand. Now I trust you will understand, even to the end, as also you have understood us in part, that we are your boast, as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. In these verses, we see the several means by which we are delivered from death to live with confidence. The first means by which we are delivered from death is by divine intervention. In verses 3 through 7, Paul reminded his readers that God's comfort was sufficient for any trouble or affliction that they would face. And then to illustrate the point, he shares a personal experience with them. He refers to something that happened in Asia. Now, we don't know what it was. It's not recorded. But it could be perhaps the mob in Ephesus, or Priscilla and Aquila risking their lives for his, or the death threats that caused his hasty departure from Ephesus. So these weren't just mild irritations. The word that Paul used here means something pressed out of measure, a crushing burden, something that you are not able to carry by yourself under normal circumstances. In fact, this burden was so heavy that Paul even despaired of his life. The Greek word literally means no passage. So Paul saw no way out. But then, just as he had written in earlier verses, God appeared on the scene. And even though his tribulation seemed to him like a death sentence, God intervened. That intervention saved Paul's life, and it taught him a valuable lesson that you and I also need to learn. God allows us to experience seemingly impossible situations in order to teach us that our intellect, our possessions, our status, or our connections to important people are all inadequate. Like Paul, we need to learn to trust completely in God Almighty. It was divine intervention that saved Paul's life in this traumatic situation. But you know, it did more than that. Look at verse 10. He said, "We trust in God who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us." In other words, Paul says, God delivered us in the past, he's delivering us right now in the present, and we have the confidence that he will deliver us in the future. That is a statement of triumph and confidence. And you know something? You and I can have that confidence too. I know people who have experienced very hard things in life. You probably do too. Some have become angry, disillusioned, and bitter. Others have clung to God throughout their heartache, and they have come through the testing, through the affliction, with a powerful life witness for Jesus. Because like Paul, they understood that God intervened so he would be glorified and that their suffering would encourage other people. Are you going through a severe trial right now? Have you almost given up? Have you asked God to intervene in the situation? He wants you to understand that his power alone is sufficient to meet your need. He wants you to have complete confidence in him. Now, your trial may not end as the one that Paul mentions here, because eventually he gave his life for the sake of the gospel. And yet, even in that, he trusted God completely. He knew that divine intervention was a means of being delivered from death. The second means, then, by which we are delivered from death is by human intercession. I want you to notice the next thing that Paul wrote. He said, God delivered us, now listen, you also helping together in prayer for us. So Paul recognized the role of God's people in prayer. Intercessory prayer is crucial to the release of God's power and his sovereign purpose. When you and I engage in intercessory prayer, we often have no idea what the result will be. But hopefully, we continue to pray, even when it seems like God is silent. When Paul was going through this trial, it may be that the Corinthian believers didn't know anything about it. But because they had him on their hearts, they were interceding for him before the throne of God. And the result of this intercession is that out of many upturned faces in intercession, thanks may be given to God by many on our behalf. The gift that Paul refers to must be his deliverance. Because the Corinthians engaged in intercessory prayer, they were able to share in Paul's joy. You know, if you have never experienced the joy of being an answer to someone's prayer, you're really missing something. Now, the goal of prayer is not to change God's plans, but rather to see him glorified in those plans. You and I can be confident that God's sovereign plans will be accomplished, balanced by the faithful prayers of his people. We may not always know the dangers that our loved ones face, but we can be confident that God hears our intercession on their behalf. And so we can be confident that one means of being delivered from death, physical or spiritual, is human intercession. So we have divine intervention and human intercession. And the final means by which we are delivered from death is by confident expression. Paul writes in verse 12 about the testimony of his conscience. He states that part of maintaining a clear conscience is to live a holy life in godly sincerity. Holiness and godly sincerity are not things that we possess within ourselves. They are gifts from God. Paul also reminded the Corinthians that his teaching wasn't conducted in the power of fleshly wisdom, but instead in the grace of God. And it was this grace that was the motivation for his conduct, for his lifestyle, for the way he lived. Paul told the Corinthians that his lifestyle was a confident expression of what he believed. And then further, Paul gave a confident expression through his communication. There were some in Corinth who accused him of being deceptive. But Paul repeats that his writings to the Corinthian church were consistent with what he taught them in person. He didn't communicate with double meanings, and he didn't have a secret agenda. Now back to the question, how does confident expression deliver from death? Let me summarize Paul's motives as he expresses them. First of all, he said, I have nothing to hide, and that allows me to have a clear conscience. Second, I lived a life of purity and holiness which you observed while I was present with you. I didn't teach you one thing and then live by another standard. And finally, I lived among you with transparent sincerity. What you saw is what I was and what I am. These three aspects of conscience, conduct, and communication play a key role in deliverance from death. A guilty conscience causes one to be secretive and dishonest. Ungodly conduct hastens spiritual death in us, and it also impacts those who are looking to us for a godly example. Inconsistent communication brings confusion, charges of favoritism, and strife. I urge you to ponder these things and make an application to your own life. Have you discovered the means by which you can be delivered from death to live with confidence? That death can only be avoided by divine intervention. And then what about human intercession? Do you believe in the power of prayer? Have your prayers resulted in divine intervention in the lives of other people? And finally, is your confident expression delivering yourself and others from death? Is your conscience clear? Is your conduct in harmony with what Scripture teaches? And is your communication consistent and trustworthy? If so, you can be sure that these means will deliver you and those around you from death.
Thanks, J. Mark, for sharing this teaching from God's Word. We trust that you have been blessed. The vision of Heralds of Hope is to use media, radio in this case, to make disciples of Jesus Christ to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. As disciples of Jesus, we want to be like Him. And to be like Him, we study His Word. So thank you for joining us for today's study. If you have any questions about today's teaching, or if you'd like a copy, just contact us and ask for it by title. Here is how you can reach us. The best way is email. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you can write to us at Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can connect with us on our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. On our website, you will find other helpful resources and more teaching programs like this one. So please look around while you are there. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. We look forward to next week and hope you will join us then as we study the next section in 2 Corinthians. Have a great week, and as Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in Him. Go now and live in that joy and peace.